Connecting the dots of strange anomalies, making it safe to tell your stories of high strangeness, and looking for the truth from Brazil to your own backyard. Hi, everybody. I'm Connie Willis, not afraid to go there, and you're listening to Coast AM. Mr. Nori is vacating and enjoying the holidays, as he so should, and we're going to have a good time tonight. Candid conversation with Mr. Chip Coffey, also open lines as well, so hopefully you can hang out and enjoy us with a little eggnog in a special manner there, maybe a little Kentucky bourbon, because, hey, we're broadcasting live tonight from Louisville, Kentucky, home of wonderful bourbon, and this is from the 840 WHAS studios from iHeart Media Studios. So thanks for joining us on this holiday weekend, and we will talk soon, right up next, with Mr. Chip Coffey here on Coast to Coast AM. And we are just getting started here on Coast to Coast AM. Hi, everybody. I'm Connie Willis in for George Nori. I hope your holidays are going well. Hope things are going really, really well. You got what you wanted for Christmas. And heck, I already went and returned some things and exchanged the sizes for friends of mine. So one of those kind of Christmases. Hey, I want to kind of talk about television here really quickly. I'm a television person. I host shows. And so I really get into watching some of them. One of my favorite ones is The Curse of Oak Island. I want to help those brothers find what's on that island for sure. And I've got some friends that can probably help them, some wonderful remote viewers, and I'd love to connect them. So I love watching these types of shows to try to figure them out myself, and I know a lot of you guys do as well. And of course, outside of the paranormal, I love Ellen. I missed her 12 Days of Christmas. I wish I could have been a part of that. I think that Ellen is probably a woman that would probably also listen to Coast AM. But also another show that I love that's no longer on the air, but I guess you can catch it every now and then, is Psychic Kids. And if you've ever never seen it, it's an incredible show where kids have abilities. And a lot of times their parents are not quite sure how to handle it, and the kids are kind of afraid, and it's all new to everybody. So they end up meeting this man named Chip Coffey, and he nurtures them into knowing how to handle it and how to deal with it. And actually, it's a wonderful show because I believe in these abilities, and for someone to come in and actually nurture the kids and help the parents to understand what's happening, and to actually even help make those abilities better and stronger, turn them off and on, and that's what Mr. Chip Coffey can do. And I am so happy to be able to talk to him tonight. Chip Coffey is an internationally acclaimed medium, paranormal investigator, writer, speaker. He does it all. His abilities manifested themselves when he was a very young child, so we're going to listen in and hear about that. He's had a traditional or very successful career in traditional counseling as well, and in the entertainment industry, travel management. We'll ask him about that a little bit. And he began working full-time as a medium at one point. He hosted the Psychic Kids, as we talked about. You've probably seen him on some other shows as well on A&E. And I'm just happy to know the guy. I've seen him myself when he spoke in front of audiences, and he really does know how to capture them. He's really a joy. If he ever comes into your city, make sure you go and watch him, because he's just fun. He's just fun, and let's have some fun with him tonight. Hello, Chip. How are you doing?
Connie Willis, good morning. It is. I almost said good night, but it's good morning.
It is on our side.
Of the woods.
I'm with you. I'm broadcasting from Louisville, Kentucky, and you're in Atlanta, correct?
I am just outside the city of Atlanta, and it is 1:12 a.m. where I'm sitting. But I'm glad to be here with you.
Well, I've got my eggnog with a little Kentucky bourbon going on, or what? Maybe I shouldn't say that, but you know. Anyway, I'm ready. I'm ready for you. I enjoy talking to you, and we've got a lot to talk about tonight. Because what we're going to do, everybody, is we're going to talk about the paranormal from A to Z, literally from A to Z. And Chip can do it. I just know he can.
We always have a good time when we're together, don't we?
I love being with you. When I was living in Philadelphia, you, of course, would show up and do your little conferences or speaking and your shows, and you'd let me be a part of those with you where I could sit and watch you. And I had a great time. You're really, really good with the people And that's a joy. It is. You converse with them. You relate to people. And, you know, the Psychic Kids thing, I got to just tell you again. I think that's where most people really connect with you and really want to praise you for that, because you do wonderful with these kids. And I miss the show.
I miss the show, too. I think that we did a lot of good work on the three seasons of the show that we did, and I'm very proud of the work that we did. I think that it became a bit of a challenge to try to continue the show because of a lot of reasons. Getting the kids together at the same time and away from school, parents that needed to take time off work, and getting everything, just the logistics of the show became a little bit challenging. And I think that's one of the reasons that the show didn't continue, that, and the fact that, you know, there were a lot of legalities involved with doing the show, what you could and couldn't say on the air, and parents saying, oh, you can say this and you can't say that. So I think there were a number of challenges with doing the show. But beyond all that, I think that what we did was we brought this topic to the general public, and I think that that was a very good thing to do, to show that these children were not defective or abnormal or whatever, and that they were, you know, experiencing very valid sorts of phenomena that they just didn't feel equipped to deal with.
You know what, Chip, though, some of those kids, I mean, I would have loved to have followed them with more, you know, I'd like to kind of follow their life along the way to see how much better,
you know,
they got.
I get asked that a lot. I get asked if I'm still in contact with some of the children, and the answer is yes, I do hear from some of them on a fairly regular, some regularly and some periodically, but you know, most of the kids that I hear from are doing quite well. You know, it's been several years since we've done the show, so surprisingly, that a couple of the older teens now, particularly two teen girls that I know of, are now moms themselves.
Oh, wow.
So, you know, they married fairly young, you know, 18, 19, 20 years old, and, you know, they're thriving for the most part.
Wow. Well, you know, some of those kids did very well, when I just remember a couple episodes, or at least one in particular, where they were working with the police, and that was amazing because the families were so happy with some of the information the kids gave.
And you know, I get asked a lot, Connie, about the kids, and you know, did I believe that the kids were truly psychic? And of course, it's some people are more psychic than others, and I think that the same could be said with some of these children. Some were tapping into their abilities more than others were. But by the time they got to us, they had been so closely scrutinized and vetted by the pre-production team that there was very little chance that the kids were either not psychic or faking it, if you will, or
right,
whatever, that these kids were legitimate. And so by the time they came to work with the psychologist on the show, either Lisa or Edie and myself, you know, we were pretty much assured that there was something going on that we could help the families and the kids with.
With your own expertise, do you think that, see if how I can put this question, do you think that more and more kids nowadays are being born with a stronger ability than ever before, or are we just maybe recognizing it?
I think it's probably a combination of both, actually. I think that a lot of people are, I think a lot of people are willing to accept these abilities, or becoming more accepting of these abilities in today's society, you know, especially in our own American culture. Other countries have always been very receptive to this, and
yeah,
we as a society are becoming, in the United States, more accepting of this. And I also think that, you know, it's very funny you bring that up, because I have many friends who have had children come into their lives recently, and it's just this, within the past couple of years, there's been this influx with a lot of people that I know in the spiritual and paranormal and holistic arenas that have either given birth to children or have adopted children or whatever, and these children all seem like they're just such incredibly enlightened souls. You can see the light in their eyes and the things that they're already doing. It's just amazing. One of the things that I want to do is, when my friends' children get older, I want to bring them all together at some point in time, or several of them together, and just put them in a room and watch what happens.
Oh, I'd love that.
Wouldn't that be a cool experiment?
Yeah, throw those cameras, turn them on. Yes.
Throw these kids all together and for the first time meeting and just say, all right, let's just all sit back and just kind of observe what happens.
Wow, I would love that. I would really like that. Well, let's get started on our little plan of attack here. What we're going to do is we're going to talk about the paranormal. We're going to throw it to Chip and have him give his perspective, his stories, his ideas, his thoughts of the paranormal from A to Z. So how do you want to do this, Chip? You want to go like, do I bring up something in the A's? Do you bring up something in the A, B, C? You know, do I throw it at you and see if you can handle it or what?
Why don't you let me be the recipient of your A to Z's, and then we'll just chat about things. I mean, I think
That's
kind of like we'll do word association. You be my therapist this evening. You be
my
paranormal therapist this evening.
Okay, well, I'm way over 300 an hour, okay? Are you ready for that?
I'll PayPal you.
Oh, okay. That works. Okay, so we'll start with A here, and I'll throw out a few and see what sticks with you.
Okay.
Alien, afterlife, angels, Akashic records.
I like angels.
Okay, so do I.
Literally, I like angels.
Me too.
You know, in my opinion, people ask me quite a lot, do you believe in angels? And I do. You know, I don't proselytize. I don't ask anybody to believe what I believe. What you believe is of no consequence to me. I don't care what you believe.
Mm-hmm.
What you believe is none of my business. What I believe basically is none of your business, and I don't try to convince or convert. So that being said, I think that angels are God's emissaries. I think that God created, if you will, angels to work with him, and that angels have never had an existence on the planet. They've never spent a complete lifetime, although they may manifest to produce a miracle or a happening or an occurrence. But they are God's workers. They're God's emissaries. And I believe that, you know, the opposite of angels are demons. Our world is built on opposites, hot and cold, day and night, dark and light, and that angels and demons, if we believe in pure good, we've got to believe in pure evil. So angels being pure good, they are beneficent beings. They do God's bidding. That's the way I look at angels. Angels, people ask me all the time if angels and spirit guides are the same. That's something else I get queried about a lot. And I don't believe that angels and spirit guides are the same thing. I believe that angels are celestial angelic beings in God's realm, and that spirit guides are evolved souls that have lived on the planet, lived full lifetimes, and have gone back into the spirit world and are entrusted to help us mere mortals here on the planet. And grandma's not going to die and become an angel. I don't believe grandma becomes an angel. Grandma becomes a spirit, and she may be helpful, but grandma's not going to die and become an angel.
What about, as a medium and as a psychic, do you, and let me ask a couple questions on this first. As a medium and a psychic, do you see spirits and do you see angels? And the reason I ask you that is because I know a lot of people along the way on my journey, with the paranormal, that people have said, I see this angel behind you. Or they'll see somebody else and say, I see two angels behind you. And they'll describe these angels. Do you see things like that?
I have seen full-body apparitions, absolutely. I have seen them, although it's not a regular occurrence. Mostly I feel the energy or get the essence of what is happening in a situation without always seeing a full-body apparition. So I'm not – different people have different abilities, and mm-hmm. I'm not – one who sees full-body apparitions or images of people actually manifesting into the third dimension that often. But it's happened in the past. I was fortunate enough to actually have a brief contact full-body apparition of my mom 9 years after she passed. And I've seen other full-body apparitions, but it doesn't happen with me all the time.
I gotcha. Well, it was amazing when people have seen angels. I mean, they describe these things as beautiful, big. I always hear big. They're very, very, very big behind you, and they feel that presence. So, yeah. Okay. All right. Well, let's go. Let's do a B. All right. Let's see. B. Boogeyman, believing, belief, Bigfoot,
Oh, you hit me on this one. Bigfoot. I like Bigfoot.
Okay, all right.
I don't know that I like Bigfoot. Bigfoot scares me a little bit, you know, because we don't really know what Bigfoot actually is. You know, is this creature, Yeti, Bigfoot, Sasquatch, whatever we want to call it, him, her, you know, what is this? Is it an interdimensional being? Is it some sort of yet undiscovered, unclassified creature? I have several friends that are very big in the Bigfoot community, and you know, I don't know what to think about Bigfoot. I saw something that was really interesting when I was right after I graduated from college. My mom and dad and I were living in Florida at the time, and we were driving down a road that was kind of rural, but not, you know, not out in the backwoods of nowhere. But we saw something in the distance sort of lumber across the road, and you know, it certainly got our attention. Do I think it was a Bigfoot? I don't know, but it was certainly a biped. It was walking on 2 feet. It was upright, probably 5.5 feet or so tall, and went across the road, and we just went, what the? You know, not actually knowing what it might have been. Now, you know, I don't know what I believe about Bigfoot. It's kind of like the same thing with aliens. I don't know what I believe in aliens. But if we go back to A for a minute, aliens scare the bejesus out of me.
I know it. You've told me
that. You know
that
about me. You know that I'm like, no, I don't want anything to do with aliens. I just don't. Want to hear a really cute alien story? This is my favorite alien story. Want to go back to A for a minute and talk about it?
We're going back to A. Or we can save that for E as extraterrestrial. See, this is all good. You're safe either way, Chip.
Well, let's talk about aliens because I'm kind of on a roll with this.
You got it. You got it.
I have a friend who is very into the whole UFO experience and alien contacts and abductions. And this friend said to me upon meeting me, I was actually with my very good friend, my BFF, and my travel assistant, Greta. And many of my followers know Greta. She's like my right-hand person. And Greta and I were talking to this gentleman, and he said, you know, Chip, when some people meet me, soon afterwards, they have their own contact experience or abduction, and I'm like, oh, no. I do not want to have any sort of alien contact experience. I would be really uncomfortable with that. And fast forward a bit to several weeks later, and Greta and I are sharing a hotel room. She's sleeping in her bed. I'm sleeping in mine. And usually when I'm asleep, I'll kick covers off the bed, and, you know, I'm have a dozen pillows on my bed, and I'm all over the bed at night. I'm a tosser and a turner. And she woke up, I don't know, 2-3 o'clock in the morning, and looked over in the dim light of the room and the ambient light that was in the room, and my bed was perfectly made. And she listened, and there was no noise in the room, and she thought, all of a sudden, she went, oh my God, they took him. She's like, the aliens have come and gotten Chip.
Chip's
and
gone. Said,
she continued to listen. Yeah, Chip is just gone. And she's like, what do I do? Do I call the front desk? Do I call the police? I know they're going to accuse me of doing something with him. What do I do? And then her mode of thinking, her train of thought shifted gears a bit, changed tracks. And she goes, wait a minute. Why didn't they take me too? So she got jealous. And soon after that, she heard the bathroom. She listened, and the toilet in the bathroom flushed. And I guess it's quite possible that I'd fallen asleep on the toilet or something.
Oh, a man being a man.
Well, yeah, you know, guys, when they reach a certain age, you don't want to fire hose the bathroom, so you kind of sit down in the middle of the night so you don't be on your feet. So, you know, I am at that age to where I don't want to run that risk, so I probably sat down on the toilet and fell asleep. So that's my sordid story for you for the evening. But, you know,
great.
That's my only contact with that I feel that I've had with any possible as of yet alien abduction. And you know, if there are any aliens listening in on the line tonight, don't.
Well, I know who you're talking about. Can we say who you're talking about? Did you want to avoid that?
I don't think that's an important part of the story.
Oh, okay. Well, I know who you're talking about, and I also had things happen after that too. After working with him.
Don't tell me that. Don't.
Yeah,
because
I did. I did.
Think that if it happened to you, it could possibly happen to me. So, Connie, let's move on to C. aliens? No, I would have to cut a little alien Yeah, and I don't want to say the B word, but I would.
Well, Chip, hold on. We will come back and talk to you a little bit more about the paranormal from A to Z. Golly, we just got through A and B, but we will go to C next, and we'll see if Chip's got any story or any perspective with C in the paranormal. I'm sure he will, and I'm looking forward to that. So hold on there, Chip. I've had those problems too with alien situations. So open lines coming up later on tonight, but we'll be right back. Thanks for hanging out with myself, Connie Willis, and Chip Coffee here on Coast to Coast AM. In for George Norrie, I'm Connie Willis. You are listening to Coast AM. Hello, everybody. We tonight are talking with Chip Coffee, the author of Growing Up Psychic, and you also have seen him on Psychic Kids. So we're going to go, what we're doing is talking paranormal from A to Z. That's what we'll be doing, and then we'll doing some open lines a little later on. Now, if you want to learn more about Chip Coffee, go to coasttocoastam.com, and you can click on his name when you go to shows, upcoming shows, look for the schedule. The coasttocoastam.com website is terrific. If you want to see who else is coming on for the next week or so, then you can see who they are. You can also look them up as well. In fact, I'm excited to see that on December 28th, that's a Sunday, George Knapp will be talking to one of my friends, Lee Spiegel, and also Alejandro. I love these two guys. They're wonderful. Alejandro is with Open Minds TV. Lee Spiegel, I know him with Huffington Post. And I love knowing when my friends are coming up or learning about new ones. So make sure you check out coasttocoastam.com as well to see who your favorite people are and learn something new as well. We're going to be right back with more of Chip Coffee. Thank you for listening tonight to Coast to Coast AM. It's Coast to Coast AM with Connie Willis here and Chip Coffee. We're talking about the paranormal from A to Z. We are on C, and C, Chip, can be Chip Coffee, crop circles, cryptids, curses, Chip Coffee.
Well, you know, let's talk about curses.
Okay.
Curses. A lot of people ask me about curses. Do I think that there's a curse on their family? Do I think there's a curse on them? Do I think that someone has worked roots on them or done hoodoo or voodoo or put a spell on them? And, you know, although I do think that there's some validity to curses, I think a lot of times people look for an external source to blame rather than just taking accountability for the fact that their own actions have brought about consequences, or that, you know, bad things happen to good people, you know? So it's really easy to say, oh, I'm cursed, someone's put a spell on me. Does it happen? Yes. But if you give validity to it, I also think that everything is all about energy and the way that energy works. And if you put your own energy, combine your own energy with something else, then you might bring about results that are either expected or unexpected. So curses, it's not always a good idea to go in that direction and consider that you've been cursed.
But you do believe there are curses and people can do that.
I do believe that there are such things, but I believe that too many people jump to the conclusion that they've been cursed when there's probably not a curse on them.
Demons. Let's go to D. Demons, death, dogman, dreams.
Demons. We talked about angels, and we mentioned demons a little bit briefly. I'd never, you know, I did 31 episodes of a show called Paranormal State.
Yes, great show, great show, great show.
Thank you so much. And, you know, I was raised in the Catholic faith, and I'd heard all about angels and demons all my life, and had never encountered anything remotely to do with the demonic until I did that show, and it was total baptism by fire, because the first case I got called in on was a case that had demonic overtones, undertones, oppression involved with that case, and it was a very eye-opening experience for me. And, you know, I've come to realize that they are very real, and they exist in our world, and we have to be very cautious when dealing with them. There are a lot of people in the world now who consider themselves self-appointed demonologists, and that's That's dangerous.
And you and I know a real one, Miss Bishop James Long.
We do. I know. I'm fortunate enough to know several. Bishop Long happens to be someone who deals in the realm of demonology, and you know, there's John Zaffis, there's you know, Adam Bly, who does a lot of work with the Catholic Church in demonology. There's any number of people that have dealt with the realm of demons, and you know, it's anything from the low level to all the way up. You know, it's very serious business. You know, I always, one of the things that I say is I always wear my St. Michael and my St. Benedict medals. I always come prepared with holy water and you know, a crucifix and a rosary. And so those are my protective elements. And, you know, I don't deal with a lot of demonic cases. I don't want to deal with a lot of demonic cases. I leave that to those who are far better equipped at dealing with those sort of negative entities than I am. And demons are very different. People jump to the conclusion that they've got a demonically infested house too readily. You know, there can just be some nasty humans who have died, and their energy is doing it. If you've got a demon in your house, you're going to know it. There are some trigger signs.
Mm-hmm.
Very foul smells, sulfur, fecal odors, rotting necrotic flesh, you know, those sort of things, you know. And one of the things that I remember so well, Connie, is remember the infamous case of the haunting in Connecticut?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
The lady that actually lived that, Carmen Reed, Carmen actually said something to me once about demons, and she said, angels whisper and demons yell and shout and scream. So if you've got demons in your house, all manner of hell is going to break loose. They're not going to be quiet. They're going to try to completely undermine and disrupt everything that's going on in your environment, in your life. And so if you've got a demonic infestation or possession, you're going to know it.
Yeah, it's all...
They're going to be very loud and active.
Yeah, it's all about breaking up your relationships, tearing you down, and you know, and making you run from the house that you're in. You know, it's all terrible stuff. It really is. And that's you know, again, talking about Bishop James Long, I just wanted to throw in that I had interviewed him not too long ago here on Coast to Coast AM. And if you do go back and listen to that, folks, with a Coast Insider, we do have the new link on there for his class, demonologyclass.com, yeah, demonologyclass.com, where he'll teach you what to do and how to do it and get out of those situations. So I wanted to make sure I said that, because there's a lot of people out there saying they're demonologists and they're not certified in any way, shape, or form. And so that's a dangerous thing to do, without a doubt. I'm with you, Chip. I like to stay away from those. You know, I've ghost hunted, I've done this and that, and you know, we can go on and on about that. But, you know, these things can go home with you, and even the spirits can go home with you and you know, just not leave you alone. And I don't always run to those cases anymore at all. So let's go on to E, A, B, C, D, E, and let's see, extraterrestrials, entities, Edgar
don't
Cayce.
Let's avoid that.
Okay.
I know that as soon as I go to bed after the show is over with, they're going to come and get me. So I don't even know.
Either that, or you're going to be found asleep on the toilet, right?
One of the two.
Entities, eternity, EVPs.
Okay, let's do that.
Okay. EVPs.
EVPs, electronic voice phenomena, those voices that you get on a tape recorder that you don't hear generally when you're hearing them, but they get you can hear them on playback. I actually like EAP better, electronic audio phenomena, because you know, it might not be a voice, it might be sounds that are other than, you know, it could be walking sounds or whatever, maybe not a voice. I remember, it's very interesting, stories. When I was a kid, I lived in a haunted house in upstate New York.
Mm-hmm.
And that house was very active. Nothing ever negative, but just very active. Lights turning themselves on and off, single notes being played on our piano in the living room, cold spots in the house, you know, animals reacting, any number of things, things that would occur in that house. You know, as a kid, it was a little scary, but after a while, it became sort of the norm. And I remember that my dad spoke to one of his friends, and there was a group that called themselves paranormal investigators at nearby Cornell University. And a group of them came into the house, and, you know, it was very limited equipment in those sort of days. Basically, all they could do was see if they could record something. And they had one of these huge dinosaur reel-to-reel tape recorders. And they put it on the library table in the hallway of the house, and everybody vacated the premises. And when we came back and replayed the tapes, Connie, I swear to you, you know, there's EVPs, and they class them like class A being crystal clear, class B being somewhat clear, and class C being, you can't really, there's something there, but you can't really tell what it is.
Mm-hmm.
We heard on this dinosaur reel-to-reel tape recorder, gigantic piece of equipment, we heard some of the most crystal clear sounds and voices that I've ever heard, even on modern digital equipment, and you know, there's some programs that you can use to clean up recordings.
Oh.
These were so crystal clear that you didn't need anything to hear them. And the reason I use EAP is, across the street from our house, there was an elevated train tracks, and no trains had run on those tracks in years. And on the audio recording that they did in the house when I was a kid, you could hear a steam locomotive.
Ooh. Ooh.
So very, very cool on those. That was my, I had a very early introduction, like 10, 11, 12 years old. I don't remember exactly how old I was, but somewhere in that age range of the most crystal clear EVPs on that reel-to-reel tape recorder. And, you know, what are they? I don't know. There's so much about it, I don't know. But I've heard some really incredible sounding audio stuff, and it's just fascinates me of how this occurs. It's just a fascinating form of paranormal investigating when I hear EVPs that you just, how do you explain it? I don't know how you explain it.
Yeah, when you are hearing that, it's you know, a lot of times, I know it's just freaky to hear it in the first place, and then it's freaky to try to figure out what it could be, because if you're hearing a train go by that used to go by years and years and years ago, it doesn't anymore, and you turn on a tape recorder in the present time and you hear this, I mean, that's as if, you know, it's either extremely simple to figure out what's going on or extremely complex that our minds could never do it. But it's almost as though all time is happening at once, and you're picking up something, what we might say as in the past, because we measure time. However, maybe it's just all happening at the same time, and that's why you're picking that up. And sometimes we hear voices and feel something walk by us, but it's all happening at the same time, and it's... I don't know.
I hear what you're saying, that time is not linear, and I don't know, kind of like in The Others, that movie The Others, remember that movie?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Nicole Kidman, I'm not really bright enough to wrap my brain around that. But the deal is that, you know, on the ones I heard as a child, it was kind of weird. I knew in the house that we lived in, I know in the house that we lived in, there was a little girl that at 6 years old, 5 or 6 years old, fell down the steps and broke her neck and died. And on the tape, very interestingly enough, at the time we had a dog whose name was Cindy. And every now and then Cindy would be asleep, completely asleep, and she would wake up and look around as though someone had whistled for her or called her. And the interesting thing on the tape recorder, you heard a voice that sounded like a child, and particularly to me, a little girl. And the little girl on the tape was calling our dog. She was saying, Cindy,
ooh.
Cindy. And then you heard a door open and shut and footsteps, and the little girl says, Father, Cindy, 1, 2, up.
Whoa.
Just that clearly.
Ooh.
So what was that? She's interacting with our dog who lives in the house now.
Right. So she's from the past and into this world now.
So how do you explain that, Lucy?
Not
I don't
at
know.
all.
I don't get it.
I don't either. And that's what's fun about talking about this all the time, trying to connect the dots like that. So we're going to go to F, and we're going to go, this is all off the top of my head. So F, fangs, faith, free will.
I like
Free.
free will.
Good, because I couldn't think of a fourth one, so I appreciate that. Free will.
Free will. I think free will is something that we're given by the divine, and I think that, in my opinion, God is not. There's a good G for us. We'll talk. Can we combine
Oh,
these two kind of?
if you'd like, go ahead.
Can we
Go, yes.
do F and G together?
Yes, we can.
Let's do F and G, free will and God. I think that God gives us free will. I think that God is, first of all, God is beyond our comprehension. God is the amalgam of everything. God is the overseer of everything, the amalgam of everything. But I think God gives us free will, and I think that God is not the micromanager that lots of people think he is, and not the vengeful, I'm going to take control. People tend to blame God for things. Why did God make me sick? Why did God make a flood? Why did God, have the tsunami or 9/11 or whatever? But I think God lots of times sits back and says, all right, what are you guys going to do with this? How are you guys going to behave and react? And I think in certain instances, God will come in and go, let me pull your leash a little bit. Let me yank your leash just a bit. Let me intervene. But I don't think God intervenes as much as we think God does. I think God expects us to handle things and, not like we're some great experiment or ant farm, but I think God lets us have a whole lot of free will to see just what we're going to do with it and how we're going to react and behave and perform. So that's kind of my opinion on free will and God.
Let me ask you this. When you do talk to spirits on the other side, do you ever have a conversation with them and ask them about God?
I don't have a conversation and ask them particularly about God, but I've had souls say to me, I'm where God is.
Did you say, where is that afterwards?
I didn't.
Oh, that was your chance.
I didn't. I think where God is where we all are. I think God is omnipresent. I think God's everywhere. So to ask that question is almost, to me, is almost a moot question. I think that again, people ask me, do you talk to the Virgin Mary? Do you talk to Jesus? Do you talk to celebrities? And I don't typically do that. I think, I've actually had a conversation or two with who I think is God, and it's mostly not conversation, mostly just listening and experiencing. And interestingly enough, every now and then, if I don't know how to make the right decision, or if God wants me to do something, literally, I'll feel myself get smacked in the back and hear a voice in my head say, "You know what you have to do."
Well, there you go, right there. I like that. Chip Coffee, Paranormal from A to Z. We are on H right now. Let's throw in H real quickly here before the break. I'll throw, let's see, hypnosis, hoaxes, haunted.
I like haunted.
Yeah.
Haunted's not a bad word. Haunted, people get really creeped out about haunted. Haunted just means the presence of paranormal activity. So if a place is haunted, it doesn't mean that's always negative. I think everywhere is haunted. Ghosts and spirits don't have bodies. They can be anywhere at any time. You don't have to die in a hospital and stay in that hospital. I don't want to think of my mom in the hospice center or my dad at the VA hospital in Atlanta. They can be anywhere at any time. Any spirit can follow anywhere. They can come from down the street. They can come from Australia or New Zealand and be in the presence of wherever you are. So don't think that just because you've got a spirit coming through to you during an investigation, that spirit may be attached to the location that you're at. Haunted, people just have mistaken concepts of what haunted is actually all about.
Well, what do you think? Why do they stay in a house? Why do they stay in a certain area? Why do they bug you and pester you?
Why do you think they stay in a, why would you think they stay in a house? Why can it not be? And every soul is not some wandering, aimless soul who's trapped in a location. They may not be staying in a house. They may just be coming back for a visit. Or it may be a spirit from down the road. People misinterpret what haunted actually is. And then there are some spirits that do haunt specific locations, but don't assume.
Never assume. Never. Absolutely never. This is Chip Coffee along with Connie Willis tonight. We're talking about the paranormal from A to Z, and we're getting the perspective from Mr. Chip Coffee. And coming up, we're going to be with I and keep this rolling. So we have another hour here with Chip to discuss the paranormal, and then we'll have open lines after that. Thank you for listening to Coast to Coast AM.